Welcome to Kiteline, a weekly radio program on WFHB that focuses on issues in Indiana's prison system and beyond.
I'm Emma Johnson.
And I'm Mia Beach.
And we're your hosts for this program. Behind the prison walls, a message is called a kite. Whispered words, a note passed hand to hand, or requests submitted to guards for medical care. Illicit or not, sending a kite means trusting that other people will bear it farther along until it reaches its destination. On Kiteline, we hope to pass along those words across the prison walls.
First off, we have some regional and national news.
Wabash Valley Correctional Facility in Carlisle, Indiana, has a long history of racist violence by guards against African American inmates. Recently, we have been informed of serious abuse at the facility being enacted by guards against long-term prisoner Ngaza Iman Bahar, also known as Jimmy Jones, or inmate number 891782. Who has repeatedly fought for his rights and the rights of all prisoners. He has been assaulted and placed in segregation just 48 hours after being released from 3 months of segregation into general population. The guard who assaulted him bragged to other inmates about his plans to attack Ngaza upon his return to population and has been quoted as using racial slurs and promoting the use of violence as an intimidation tactic against prisoners. Ngaza is currently in fear for his life and believes that the guards intend to provoke him to physical violence so that they can keep him in prison for life. Ngaza and his advocates ask that you please call Indiana Department of Corrections Commissioner Bruce Lemon at 317-232-5711, as well as WVCF Superintendent Dick Brown at 812-398-5050. And tell them to stop the racist abuse by guards of WVCF inmate Jimmy Jones, number 891782, and transfer him to a different facility immediately. A Chicago police officer has been stripped of his police powers and placed on desk duty, pending an investigation into a video showing him apparently stomping a man's head while a second officer was trying to restrain the man. The Independent Police Review Authority has launched an investigation into the video, which was recorded while a plainclothes officer was struggling with a man on the ground while trying to arrest him in the North Lawndale neighborhood. The video, posted on Facebook, shows a plainclothes officer trying to arrest the man in the 3900 block of West Grenshaw Street. A second officer tells bystanders to move back and then apparently stomps the man on the head. A police spokesman confirmed the officer seen apparently stomping the man has been relieved of his police powers after Superintendent Eddie Johnson reviewed the video. What's not clear is exactly how a narcotics investigation led to this confrontation. Police have not provided details of the man's arrest other than to say charges were pending against him. In the profanity-laced video, you can see a police officer wrestling with the young man on the street. Soon, another officer arrives and immediately calls for backup as a crowd gathers and moves closer, while the first officer continues to wrestle with the man. Less than a minute into the struggle, the second officer stomps the man's head as several other officers arrive on the scene. Minister Jedida Brown said he was disheartened by the actions of the officer who made what Brown said is a brutal decision.
This week's episode focuses on prison ecology. We recently had a chance to attend a conference in Washington, D.C. called Fight Toxic Prisons. This conference focused on the environmental impact of prisons on the land it inhabits, as well as the people on the inside. I had a chance to talk to a few of the organizers of the Fight Toxic Prisons conference.
Panayoti with the Campaign to Fight Toxic Prisons and an organizer with this convergence here in D.C. About a year and a half ago, I helped to start the Prison Ecology Project, which was really an effort building off of, you know, other organizing projects, more localized around connecting incarceration and environmental issues. We're certainly not the first to do it, but we decided that we wanted to start collecting these stories and this work around organizing at the intersection of ecology and incarceration, because we've seen it as one piece of applying pressure on the system, the prison system, and it's been effective in delaying prisons, in increasing pressure and scrutiny on conditions of confinement for prisoners, and I think it warranted further development. It offered the possibility to bring new people into the struggle against prisons who hadn't previously put their resources and energy into that. So using some of the momentum in the environmental movement, in particular from people who were have been involved in supporting environmental prisoners, people put in prison for their environmental actions. And I think for the first time, a lot of people seeing firsthand and hearing what conditions were like in prisons. I mean, I think most people realize that the mainstream environmental movement is largely middle class and white and has resources that come from this racist society. And in trying to challenge that and overturn that, looking at the tools and resources that those communities have access to and contributing towards the struggle against prisons with the tools that we have and are familiar with, I think is a powerful way to express solidarity. And so this convergence came out of that desire to use what we were learning and the network we were building with other environmental groups, ranging from groups like Earth First and Rising Tide, who are on the more grassroots end of things, to some of the bigger organizations like Sierra Club and Center for Biological Diversity, and pushing them into looking at prisons as an environmental hazard, as an environmental justice issue. And we've had some success with that, and we want to keep building that.
If you're just tuning in, this is Kiteline, a radio show focusing on prison and its impact on the Midwest.
I think doing so requires both input from these organizers on the outside and also prisoners who are seeing these conditions on the inside themselves.
And if people want to find out more either about this conference, the project Fighting Toxic Prisons, where should they go?
You can check out fighttoxicprisons.org, the website that was developed around organizing this convergence. Also, the prisonecologyproject.org has tools and resources and things that have developed specifically around the fight in Letcher County for building a new maximum security federal prison in Appalachia, on top of a mountaintop removal coal mining site. So you can find a lot of that at prisonecology.org. And of course, Monday morning, we'll be heading out into the streets to protest at the BOP offices to try and apply pressure both on that proposal for the prison in Letcher County and also the proposal in Thompson, Illinois for a new Supermax facility. These are the two pending federal prison projects that are kind of on the table, and we want to make it clear that we're against both of them.
Another conference organizer had this to say.
My inspiration and motivations for like being a part of this convergence and helping organize it was having done a lot of work around supporting eco-prisoners in the past, you know, Marius Mason, Eric McDavid, Daniel McGowan, but seeing June 11th kind of remain fundraisers and punk shows and whatnot, which are all very important. They've helped raise lots of money, but feeling like we needed to like step it up a little bit as far as A, breaking out of the like anarchist subculture, and also doing more than just raising money. We need to be getting people together. We need to be like getting on the streets. So kind of within those thoughts, there's this Letcher County prison in Kentucky that has a very clear environmental connection as well, being built on a former strip mine that's toxic waste. And so it just seemed like a great opportunity to make the connection between fighting prisons and supporting eco-prisoners, as well as all political prisoners. I figure it's a good opportunity to bring lots of people together. And also tomorrow we're going to be going out in the streets and protesting out in front of the BOP offices. Again, that was an important part of June 11th. We haven't seen as much there being actual resistance in the streets.
So, beyond Monday, kind of where do you think you're going to be?
Well, I think we're going to keep seeing how we can apply pressure to stop the Letcher County prison. Any funds we have left over from this convergence, we're splitting up between Marius Mason's support group, and the other half will go towards litigation against the prison. And, you know, we don't have much faith in the legal system, but we'll take any approach we can get. If a lawsuit can stop a prison, why not, you know? But we also recognize that it's going to be taking continued pressure. Now it's going to be kind of continuing conversations with folks in Letcher County and see how we can work best with them. It is kind of a fragile situation. They're a community that's had people coming from the outside telling them how to do things for decades around issues of coal, so it is kind of sensitive. having outsiders participate in their struggle, and so we're trying to navigate that and, you know, do it the best we can, also recognizing it isn't just about the folks in Letcher County, it's also about men from all over this country that are going to be getting shipped there and tortured. Yeah, and I'd also say that I'm excited to see this gathering coming up in Ohio, and the September 9th strikes, I think, are kind of the next steps I see as far as national and regional efforts at fighting back against mass incarceration and toxic prisons.
Hey, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm a member of the Letcher Governance Project. About 10 years ago, a group of folks in Letcher County, Kentucky, in southeast Kentucky, where I live, were looking for help with economic development and went to our higher-ups, and our Congressman Hal Rogers, who's also the head of the House Appropriations Committee, said, hey, what do you think about a federal prison? This will be the fourth federal prison if it's built in East Kentucky in the last 20 plus a few years. And our Planning Commission has been working for the past decade to bring the prison here. And there have been environmental impact statements that have come out, and currently, right now, there's been a revised final environmental impact statement, and we're waiting on the record of decision. And in the not-too-recent past, the U.S. Attorney General announced $444 million allocated for the construction of this prison.
Hi, I'm Sarah with the Letcher Governance Project. We formed the Letcher Governance Project as a response to this almost $500 million being allocated to build this prison. And it's been touted to our community as a way to create jobs. And we know from looking at the track record of the last three prisons that have been built in the region that they did not create the jobs that they said they were going to, and those counties still remain some of the poorest in the country.
We oppose the prison, and we think there are a lot of brilliant ideas of what could happen in our community, and people have those ideas, and the folks that hold the power aren't listening to them. They try the same old things, and it doesn't work. And we know, and so many other people do, that we don't want our future to be built off the suffering of other communities or our own. So we're really trying to think about what the future could look like and trying to get people to envision what $444 million could do that wouldn't be a prison. And a lot of times it seems like the first starting point in conversations with folks is about the jobs. Like, you're not going to get these jobs anyway. Very few will come. And it seems overwhelmingly that folks are kind of resigned to the fact, like, well, we need jobs. That'll be something. So it's better than nothing. But they're not really excited about the prison, and then able to kind of start the conversation there, but really broaden it out then to talk about the prison system as a whole and beyond jobs, what that means for our community as a host community, what it would mean for the families who have loved ones incarcerated, for the folks who are locked up, for our country, for the world. So just really to have a holistic conversation.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. One of the hats I wear is a biologist. I recently conducted a survey on the property that's being proposed for the prison, and it's really crucial habitat for an endangered species and a threatened species for not only their summer habitat, which they use the trees in the area, but also spring and fall staging habitat. The endangered bat roosts in caves in the wintertime, and then it roosts in trees in the summertime. So there are some hibernacula, which is where bats hibernate, on Pine Mountain, which is an ecologically extremely valuable resource to not only the state of Kentucky or East Kentucky, but the country. Mitigation has been proposed, and mitigation has been used to very positive effects in my eyes in the past and in other projects. But in this project in particular, I feel like mitigation is not adequate for the importance of the habitat that's going to be lost.
Check out on Facebook, Letcher Governance Project. Search that. And then there's also a website, which is letchergovproject.com.
If you want to see what Eastern Kentuckians would rather have brought to their region, what they would rather spend $444 million on. You can search the hashtag Our444Million and feel free to share your own story about how you would invest $444 million.
And the Twitter is at LetcherGovProj, P-R-O-J.
Now we'll hear a talk given by a panelist speaking at the Convergence. You can hear more of the panel in next week's episode.
On the Move, I'm Ramona Africa, a Minister of Communication for the Move organization. I am also the sole adult survivor of the May 13th, 1985 government bombing of my family, of the Move organization. I am a former political prisoner as a result of being a survivor of that bombing. I am a representative of the International Concerned Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal, but most importantly, at least to me, I'm a revolutionary. I was listening to the introduction that Michael was giving. And the one thing that kind of stuck in my mind is when she used the words prison abolition, because sometimes people have a problem with that. People have been trained to believe in the rhetoric of this system, which says, you know, gotta have prisons or there would be chaos. And, excuse me? What do we have now? Chaos. What do we have now? Chaos. I mean, the people that are truly guilty don't go to prison. I mean, a bomb was dropped on me and my family. Our babies were burned alive. Nobody went to prison for that. Nobody was even charged for that. I'm the only one that went to prison because I survived, you know? So we need to really be clear on the games and the tricks that those who run this system play on people. You know, I have 9 innocent sisters and brothers that were arrested in August of 78, accused of killing Officer James Rand. Now, they know my family is innocent. Everybody involved in sending my family to prison knows they're innocent. Even the judge who sat on the trial, and it was a bench trial, not a jury trial, just the judge. He convicted all 9 of my family members, sentenced each of the 9 illegally to 30-year minimums and 100-year maximum sentences. He went on a radio talk show a day or two later, and when asked a direct question by Mumia Abu-Jamal, who heard him on the radio, Mumia asked him, who killed Officer Rand? Judge Malmed replied, and I quote, I haven't the faintest idea. That's what he said after convicting and sentencing my family to a maximum of 100 years each. This is the legal system that we're being asked, told, pressured, forced to believe in? No, never. John Africa, Moose founder, teaches us that you should never and can never accept anything wrong, anything that doesn't work. And the prison system does not work. It doesn't work. And to be forced to accept it, to believe in it, that's not in our interest. Whose interest is that in? Those who run this system. We have to really, truly get in touch with, understand our power. The Panthers had a saying, a slogan, all power to the people. What I'm saying, what MOVE is saying, is that all power is in the people. We just have to use that power. And we really don't have a choice. I mean, it's not an option. You know, we don't have a choice. Now, when John Africa founded the MOVE organization, the one thing that John Africa coordinated in MOVE, the one belief that John Africa gave MOVE members is a belief, a profound, uncompromising, undisputable belief in life, in respecting life, protecting life, not in an abstract sense, but in a very real sense. And I put that out there to say that when those running this system make it clear that they don't believe in life, they don't give a damn about life, they don't care, they have no problem with poisoning the air that not only all life has to breathe, but that they have to breathe too. Their children, their babies, their grandbabies have to breathe. They don't care. The water that we have to drink, you know, no matter how much champagne we can afford to drink, you've got to have water. And to allow your God-given water, the source of life, to be poisoned, knowing you have to drink it as well, it's insane. To allow toxic waste to be put in the earth that feeds life, all living beings, that you have to eat from, it's suicidal. It's suicidal, you know? And if the people that run this system, they know this, yet they allow for the poisoning, the enslavement of life, how can we expect them to care about us if they don't even care about themselves? And even more profoundly, how can we feel comfortable allowing them to do the things that they do? How can we do that? We have to love ourselves enough, care about ourselves enough to say, hell no, we're not accepting this. We can't accept that. That's crazy. And stand up and fight back. When you talk about toxic prisons, it's not only in a abstract sense. We have a brother, one of the MOVE Nine, Mike Africa, who is incarcerated at the State Correctional Institute at Greaterford in Pennsylvania. We've been working with Mike for months now because the water at Greaterford that comes through their pipes, it stinks. You can not only smell it when you put it up to your nose to try to drink it, but the men who shower in the water come out of the shower with the stench from the water on them. We're not accepting that. We are not accepting that. The prison guards are told, do not drink the water. They have filters on water in the guards' dining room, but not for the inmates. You already know the food that they feed inmates is, yes, toxic. Toxic. You know? So we have to look at the whole picture. That is what John Africa had taught me. We have to be concerned about our own health. enough that we will not allow the poisoning of life that we have to engage in. We will take a stand for our own health, because how can you be a revolutionary and fight back if you're unhealthy? Over 10,000 inmates in the Pennsylvania prisons had active hepatitis C, and they're not treating them for it. They refuse to treat inmates for it. Over 60 some thousand people in Philadelphia alone have active hepatitis C and are not being treated because they can't afford it. You know, it's not made available to them. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know about you, but that's enough, more than enough motivation for me and my family to stand up and fight back and be clear on who our enemy is. And anybody that gets in our face and tries to tell us that we're wrong, we're criminal, we're violent for fighting back, for protecting ourselves and our family, they ain't our friend, they're our enemy. And that's how we will treat them. So that's really the bottom line where MOVE is concerned. We are not under any illusions that prisons are any kind of corrective institution. We're not under any illusion about that. And when you realize who goes to prison for allegedly committing crime and who never goes to prison, that tells you right there that that system is to be confronted and abolished for the good of life, for the good of people. It should never be accepted. So with that, I say on the MOVE. Long live the MOVE 9. Long live Mumia Abu-Jamal. Long live Leonard Peltier, Oscar Lopez Rivera, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. Long live the Zapatistas, the Puerto Rican Independentistas. Long live the Earth Liberation Front, the Animal Liberation Front, all those who fight for life, who stand up for life. Long live the spirit of resistance.
Tightline wants your feedback. You can reach us via email at kitelineradio@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Are you someone affected by the prison system? If you or a family member have a story you want shared on the program, please email us at kitelineradio@gmail.com. We also welcome you to record something for us to put on the air. To record a message for the show or to send a message to a family member or loved one who's currently behind the walls of an Indiana prison, please call 812-269-2512 and record your message. The Midwest Pages to Prisoners Project is an all-volunteer effort that strives to encourage self-education among prisoners in the United States. To get involved, we encourage you to come to their volunteer hours to learn more. The volunteer hours are Sunday, 2 to 5 p.m., Monday, 6 to 9 p.m., Tuesday, 12 to 3 p.m., Wednesday, 3:30 to 6 p.m., and Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. More information about Pages to Prisoners, donating, or helping out can be found at pagestoprisoners.org. Kiteline is solely responsible for the content here on the show. The views expressed on Kiteline do not necessarily express the opinions of WFHB, its contributors, or any affiliates airing this program.